Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda. Welcome back, listeners. This is Lauren, Life Coach Mama. And as you may have heard in a past episode, I have started a nonprofit with a team of life coaches and a licensed counselor. And we are doing life coaching as coaches, but we are focusing on moms who are in need in their pregnancy, who have unplanned pregnancies and need support. So we take our life coaching tools and we work with them, just like we do with our clients. In a group setting. So we have a group program all online, help women anywhere really in the world, but we are on Eastern Standard Time. We meet Tuesdays from 7 to 8. We do a 12-week program. We give moms a book and one-on-one coaching, group coaching, live online, and we are there to support them. So anyways, that website, if you or you know of anyone that could benefit, is Crisis Pregnancy Support, crisispregnancysupport.com. And what I would like to do, as I have always done, is interview moms. But what I would like to do from this point forward is to focus on moms who have chose life, who have been through that crisis, who did go through a difficult pregnancy that was unplanned and were able to come through. And obviously, these will be very informative and inspirational for moms in the situation, pregnant in a crisis right now, for those in the pro-life movement that want to know how to help moms, for anyone really who wants to know more about what they can do in this post-Roe America. And as we know, America tends to start trends and be the leader in many things. So a lot of other countries are watching us. So we could just go ahead and say post-Roe world. We don't really know how this ripple effect will take place. Only God knows. But we all have a part to play. I think if God created you and is not done with you, you're still living, breathing on this earth, there is something you can do. So of course, we're not all life coaches. We're not all working full-time with single moms. But we can all do something. So think about that while you're listening. And enough of the intro. I'm introducing today a beautiful mom, a new friend of mine, Aisha, who lives in Northeast Ohio, just like me. And we met through a mutual friend. She is an author, a speaker. Her book is amazing. You need to check it out. We're going to be talking about that. She has a beautiful story. She's very articulate. I'm so glad she's here to share it. She's also an entrepreneur. Before those two things, she was an entrepreneur. She started a business. She works helping moms in financial planning, something we can all use. And with everything going on in the world with finances, I'm sure she's a huge help to many people. So she has twins, boy and girl, twins. And I love twin moms. As you know, I'm a twin mom too. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for taking time to meet with me. I really appreciate it.
Can you take us back to maybe when you found yourself pregnant and just kind of walk us through a little bit of that history of the unplanned pregnancy?
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember it's kind of like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I remember it was Good Friday. And I was in my doctor's appointment and I found out I was pregnant. I was on my way to Good Friday service, but the doctor's appointment was before the service. And I was just kind of like, what? And the reason why I was there is because I had a positive pregnancy test. And the funny story is with that is I didn't believe the positive pregnancy test at first. Mm-hmm. So I got like the double pack of like pregnancy tests. So like took two, and I took one, and I was just like, well, this could be wrong. And I think it was like a day or so later, like I took another one. And I was like, well, this could be wrong. And I'm like, let me go back and I go get some more tests. And my friend was just like, why don't you leave some tests for people who actually need them? And so, you know, I ended up going to the doctor to check on the pregnant, to check to get like, you know, an official doctor's pregnancy test. And sure. Doctor confirmed that I was indeed pregnant. And I just remember just like being like terrified. And when I first found out I was pregnant, I was just sitting in my bathroom and I was just like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like all I knew what to say was Jesus. That was it. Because I really had no idea what this was going to mean. Because like at that time, I had a hunch that their dad was going to leave. And so I didn't, I had just left my job to become a full-time entrepreneur. I had left my job like maybe about a month and a half before. And so I had, like so many of us, we plan out our lives in terms of like what we're going to do.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to be a full-time entrepreneur. I'm going to run my business and, you know, all of this other stuff. So all I had on my mind at the time was entrepreneurship and being a full-time entrepreneur, because also I had just left my job from dealing with 2.5 years of workplace bullying. And so for me, I was just coming to a point where things just seemed relatively calm in my life. Oh, I say relatively because becoming a full-time entrepreneur is its own level of roller coaster. Sure. But in terms of like the deep emotional pain and stuff, like, you know, I was getting to a point where, you know, I was exiting out of that. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that I was entering into another roller coaster of deep emotional pain from when I ended up finding out I was pregnant, to telling their dad trying to force me to have an abortion. And ultimately, when I chose life for my twins, he walked out because he gave me an ultimatum. He said, it's either the pregnancy or him. And so I chose my pregnancy, which meant that he left. And at that point, when I was 4 months pregnant, I became a single mom. And things just were difficult. It really tested my faith in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. Just because I literally had to lean on God through everything. There were certain days, and I talk about this in the book, that I didn't know how I was going to get back up again. Like there were times when I would pull the blinds closed, sit in the darkest corner of my room in the fetal position and just cry because I did not know how to get back up again. But then slowly but surely, like I'm like, okay, let me just get up for a few minutes. And then eventually those few minutes became hours. Those hours became more than 1 hour, you know, and then those more than 1 hours became days, and those days became weeks. And I was able to find strength enough to keep on going. And it was not easy at all. I dealt with a lot of betrayal. I had friends who ended up talking about me behind my back, gossiping and laughing about the fact that I was a single mom. And I just went through this period of time where I didn't know who to trust. I didn't know how to move forward. But all I knew is that I had to just keep getting back up again. And that is what I ended up doing.
Wow. So I think when we hear that story, those of us listening, we wonder, like, I know you said you made your choice and you kind of knew he was going to leave if you made that choice, and you sound like you knew what you wanted, but I'm sure that's a very complex and even lengthy story, and you don't have to go into all the details, but how did you come to your decision to keep them? And like, was there something that solidified that? I'm sure it's not just one thing, right? Like our temptation is to say like, well, what made you choose life? Like just this, you know, someone said something and that was it. I'm sure it was many things, and probably can't just say one thing, but anything you want to share that kind of helped you make that decision? That's what I think we are curious of when we hear these stories.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question. And you're right. It wasn't just one thing. And so, because for me, I didn't know what I was going to do at first because I was terrified. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just quit my job to become a full-time entrepreneur. I had one income for one person. Mm-hmm. And when I left my job to become a full-time entrepreneur, I knew how much I needed to survive, and which, you know, did not include having to take care of anyone else. It was just what I needed. And I remember really faced with not knowing what to do. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do because, you know, kind of like what the narrative is, like we're conditioned to believe that and if you have an abortion, things will go back to normal and you can just walk your plan out the way you originally envisioned it. Mm-hmm. And so I had that temptation to be like, well, what does this mean for my income, right? What does this mean for my dreams? Mm-hmm. And there was this temptation to be like, well, you know what? Just get the abortion and just go back to whatever plan that I was having. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, this isn't the right, that's not the right thing to do. That's not the right thing. And so I remember once when I told him, he said something so cruel to me. He was just like, it's not like we're playing the keeps. Why don't you just get rid of it, right? Why don't you just abort it? And when he said that, I was kind of like, it just didn't feel right. It didn't sit right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to say that I was always convinced because I wasn't. It was like a daily decision. And there were some days that I was stronger than others. And there were other days where I was weaker than others. Mm-hmm. And at one point on a weak point, I ended up picking up the phone to call the abortion facility because mm-hmm. when I went into my doctor, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I ended up getting an abortion referral from the doctor. And so I mm-hmm. always had that abortion referral because I wasn't sure because, like I said, I didn't know what it meant for my future. And I had a good idea of how he was going to react. And I just did not know how I was going to proceed forward. Mm-hmm. And so then on a very weak point, I ended up calling the abortion provider because in Michigan at the time, what we had to do was go through this online abortion training. And you go through this online training to let you know what it is that you're doing, what the procedures are, so you're fully informed of what it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I went through that, printed it off because I just did not see a way forward. And then I picked up the phone and called the abortion provider, but praise be to the Lord that they didn't answer the phone. Mm. And when they didn't answer the phone, I ended up going to church that day because I was already scheduled to go to Bible study that day. I figured that I was going to make the appointment, go to Bible study, and that would be it. And so at Bible study, the pastor was teaching on a series called Storms. And in that particular session, in that particular Bible study, what he said was never make a permanent decision based upon temporary circumstances. Mm. And when he said that, I realized that an abortion was permanent. What I was going through with their dad turning verbally abusive, with me not knowing what was going to happen with my finances, with me not knowing what would happen to my dreams and the goals and everything that I set forward to do, I realized in that moment that it was all temporary. Mm-hmm. And that with the Lord, it would pass and I would be able to make it through if I just relied on him. And at that point, I realized I was going to go on with my pregnancy, regardless of what he said. But at that same time, it was still not easy because there were other times where I was kind of was weak again. Right. And I love crisis pregnancy centers and pregnancy centers just because I remember there was a time where he was just particularly mean to me. And I did not know. I was just like, I don't know if I can continue to stand up to him. I don't know if I can continue to stay strong and choose life for my children. And I remember there was one point I just did not think that I was strong enough. And so I went into my next scheduled doctor's appointment as normal. And I was going to just look at the ultrasound and say goodbye to my kids because I just did not think that I was strong enough to stand up to him and all of the uncertainty. I just didn't think that I could continue to handle it. And when I looked at my kids on the ultrasound screen, one of my twins turned and looked at me straight in the face, in the eyes. Like we made eye contact through that screen. Oh. And I was hysterical. Because I'm like, how can I do this? Like, this is life. Like my child just locked eyes with me. Mm. How could I turn around and abort it? Mm. And I couldn't. I was hysterical, yet I was afraid at the same time. And so I remember leaving the ultrasound appointment and going, I think I had to get blood work that day. And so I was, I did. And so I was leaving blood work and ran into one of the nurses who was with me when I first found out I was pregnant. She just asked me how I was doing, broke down hysterical, crying. And she said, she was like, I cannot let you leave the office in this condition. I need you to go into the nurse counseling's room. She was like, sit down and calm down. We're going to have somebody talk to you. And a nurse counselor came in and talked to me and said, you know what? You're too early in your pregnancy to be going through so much stress. You need help. And so she said, promise me you won't do anything until you have a chance to talk to a therapist. And so she recommended a person, a lady to me. And so I went there, spoke to the lady, and the lady helped me to see something. She said, you know, because she's a pregnant, she works with a lot of pregnant women or women who desire to be pregnant. And she said, there's so many women who cannot get pregnant at all, but you've been blessed to have two. And she just helped me to be able to shift my perspective on everything, to shift my perspective on looking at how things weren't going to be able to happen in the future, about what's going to go wrong, about the lack that can come from it, about the absence of their dad, right? She helped me to be able to see the good and the blessings in it, and to be able to help me to look towards the future and to begin to come up with a plan for how to move forward instead of staying stuck in the fear, the shame, the guilt, the heartbreak, the heartache, and the worry and the anxiety. And so it was once I began to get into counseling and once I began to really be able to see the blessings that it helped me to be able to move forward and stand firm on my conviction for life. And some of this stuff actually happened after he left and made the, like, you know, as I began to plan and move forward, you know, that helped to reaffirm that decision. But things were very much kind of chaotic and fearful and scary. Once he left and once I made that choice for life, it's almost like I had to keep making that choice and reminding myself that that was the right thing. But kind of once he left, once I decided it, I was just kind of like, you know, this is what we're doing. So how do I move forward?
Right. Wow. It's such a powerful story, Aisha. And there's so many parts that are just so impactful. And I thank you for being so willing to share it because I know it'll bless so many people. I know for me, and I've heard you share it a couple of times now. I hope you share it a million more times. that's why I really was dying to have you on the podcast. So thank you. I know for me, I love the quote from your pastor, which is what God would say. And it's just, you know, some practical wisdom, kind of common sense, really, right? And I think we can apply it to anything. And it's just a good reminder that, and I would hope that life coaches, and I think they do, focus on, you know, when you're making a decision, is this a temporary circumstance? Are you making, you know, a long-term decision, something that, you know, you really shouldn't be making based on the information or the circumstance? So I love that. And I also love how the therapist worked with you because I'm trying to learn how to use life coaching in these situations. And essentially that's what we've been doing. So I'm glad that you've proven that it helped you because it is mindset shift. And in life coaching, we try to change our thoughts. And if we want to change our actions, our feelings, we look at our thoughts. And you're right. Now, of course, it is very difficult to be in that situation, find yourself pregnant, and then the boyfriend leaves and it's twins. But it's also true that other people would love to have twins or other people would love to have one child. And so we always say in life coaching, you know, when someone's struggling, is it true? Is it helpful? And it's true that you were in a difficult situation, but your therapist helped you to see it was also true that you were blessed. And maybe it was true that you were really stressed and being treated poorly, but was it helpful to keep thinking about the negative? And to kind of step out of that negativity that, you know, God doesn't want us to live in, but we kind of just convince ourselves that whatever we're thinking is reality. And that's kind of where coaches step in. So I hope we can continue to do that like your therapist and your pastor did. And your story is helpful to us because we're trying to learn at this point how to coach women. And I also just want to say one more thing, but I do want you to keep going. It's so interesting, your perspective, because it just debunks that narrative that women want it, women need it. You said, no, I knew that I could have the abortion and then go back to kind of how it was, but that wasn't right. And you inside, in like the depths of you, in your heart, you didn't want that. So the idea that like women need that to fix their problem or to be successful or to have financial security isn't true. And then the idea that it's like helpful or it's healthcare, right? Or that it's pro-woman. I mean, clearly no one in their right mind would say the way your boyfriend was talking to you was pro-woman, or the way he was treating you was respectful, or the way that he turned on you, like he should have been looking to make more money, right? If you were not going to be working, or looking to go buy two cribs and two car seats, right? That's what you do when you find out you're having twins. And so I just think like common sense tells you it shouldn't matter your political affiliation or your religious affiliation. Like, this is not a good situation. And you said it yourself, you only found yourself in those abortion facilities, or calling them, I should say, calling them or thinking about going to them at your lowest point. And so the fight on the other side is saying women need this, they want this, this is what's good for them. But you're saying that that was where you went at your worst time. And the helpful people were in the pregnancy center. So it's just great to hear, because I feel like we say these things, you know, from kind of the other end, like we're in the pro-life movement and this helps women, but to actually hear a woman say it, it's kind of like obvious, but yet it's good to hear your personal account of it, because it just makes so much sense. Right.
Right. Right.
And so moving forward, did you feel supported at the end and, you know, after postpartum, when they were infants? How did that all look for you? Or what do you want to share about that time period?
So when postpartum, I actually am blessed to have an amazing support network. Mm-hmm. My parents really stepped up, because, okay, you know, my parents know what it's like to have twins. And so my parents really, you know what, let us help you. And so I ended up moving to be closer to family, so I would actually have support. And so that was one of the best decisions that I could have done. And I actually advise single moms who are pregnant or have young kids, if you have family who is supportive, then it's best, it can be best to move to be closer so you can have a support system, so you're not doing everything on your own. And that was one of the best decisions that I could have made, because in that it allowed me to focus on healing. And initially I was focused on everything that I was giving up, right? Because I had lived in Michigan for so long. And that was home for me. But what the best thing for me to do was to move to be closer to family so I can have support. And that allowed me to be able to focus on my healing, because everything wasn't on my shoulders anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm blessed, because even when I did live in Michigan, my parents would drive up to help me. And so I had a phenomenal support system in my family. Mm-hmm. And so, but still, you know, I still had to deal with a lot emotionally in terms of the guilt and the shame of being an unwed mother. But yet I grew up in a two family household. And so that was very difficult for me to reconcile as well as when he left, you know, he really just destroyed all my confidence, self-worth, and self-esteem. So mm-hmm. really having to be able to rebuild myself up again right. was a process. Like the confidence that you hear now, the certainty that you hear now, like literally this is like 7 years later, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a long time for me to be able to be in therapy, to be in counseling, to, you know, lean into the Bible and be able to renew myself in the Word of God, to be anchored again in Him. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this is I don't want anybody listening to this to think like this is overnight. This is years of work.
Sure.
And so, but I had that space to be able to focus on healing because I had a support system, because mm-hmm. I had a relationship with God. And mm-hmm. so for me, I still, you know, had to deal with the shame, right? I still dealt with the single mom guilt. I still had to figure out what it meant for my finances. I still had to figure out what it meant for my future. But the beautiful thing in this is that as I grew closer to the Lord, I was able to surrender more to him. And even now, like what I'm doing now, I actually would not have pictured it, right? Mm-hmm. Writing a book about single motherhood, being a guy from pregnancy to the first year of motherhood, and really shifting my business to begin talking more about my story, speaking up more about my story, working with organizations who support single moms and talking to them about how they can come alongside of single moms, working with single moms in general, right? I've been working with single moms for about 6 years now, but you know, I started off just teaching personal finances to single women. And because of the pregnancy, because I became a single mother, I felt like my purpose actually enhanced. And I remember what my sonographer said. She said that who knows how God is going to use this to enhance what you do with that phenomenal. And what she said was prophetic in so many ways, because I never would have imagined that I would end up helping single moms with their finances, helping single moms to grow nearer to Christ. But now being in a position through lots of interviews and talking to organizations, be able to talk to them about what it's like being a single mom and the best ways for them to help these moms. Mm-hmm. And use their abilities and their resources and their influences to be able to do that. And because I think also that it's such an overlooked population as well.
Right.
And to be able to help people, to be able to see how they can help these women. Mm-hmm. It's just a joy. So it's like, I really see, and I just said this earlier today, like that moment where Joseph was talking to his brothers, when he said, "What you meant for bad, the Lord turned for good," because now he's able to save a nation of people. And so I feel that what the enemy meant for bad, what their dad meant for bad, what was meant to destroy me and break me, God turned around and used for good and gave me a purpose. And so I would say this for any woman who is struggling with a crisis pregnancy, who finds herself unexpectedly single at a pregnancy, don't look at what you're losing, quote unquote, losing. Try to shift your mindset to be able to think about what it is that you're gaining. And it might not be obvious right away, because it was not obvious right away for me. It took a couple of years for things to be able to see. And now it's been like 7 years for it to be all coming together. But be able to trust that the same God who loves you, who's the creator of the world, has a purpose and plan for you, even in this. And then he still has a purpose and plan for your children. Even in this, it does not mean that God has left you or forsaken you. Man may leave you or forsake you, but God doesn't. And so sometimes it might be hard right now to see past the situation. But also we have to look at what the Bible says, and that we're supposed to be trusting in the unseen, because what is unseen is eternal and what is seen is temporary. So the situation that you're going through right now is temporary. It might not feel like it. The heartbreak is real as being cut with 1,000 knives, right? It's real. The pain is real. The uncertainty is real. The fear is real. The anxiety is real. But there will be a day where God will redeem it and bring joy, happiness, and hope. The important thing is holding on to the hope, even in situations where there might not be hope. Because you can't undo an abortion. But what you can do is commit your life to living in joy, peace, and fulfillment, and trusting that the God who created the earth is going to care for you and your child.
Wow. Well said. Oh, I love the story of Joseph. Isn't that an awesome verse?
Yeah.
It really puts evil and the devil in his place. Because God is all powerful and he has a plan and a purpose, and he has a beautiful plan for your life. And for people listening, again, like I said at the beginning, you might think, oh, well, I'm not going to go be a life coach, or I might not work financially with single women one-on-one all day. But listen, the sonographer had a message for her. Her pastor had a message for her. Therapist had a message for her. Parents had a message for her. You know, you have a job, you have maybe a child, maybe you have a sister. Or, you know, maybe have a friend who could be in her situation. Like, we all have a connection somehow, right? So I think we all have a role. And I don't want to say at the very least pray, because prayer is very powerful, but we can all pray in addition. And it's not a small thing to do that, to pray for moms in need and for babies, for unborn babies in the situation we're in right now in our country. So yeah, I feel like I could talk to you forever. I love your story. And I need to make sure a couple things though, that we get the name of your book and where they get it. I have to get it myself, because at the pro-life event we were at, you sold out. And so I couldn't even buy one. Tell us the title, where we can get it first. And then a couple more things I wanted to ask before you go.
Yes. So the title of the book is called Navigating the Impossible, mm-hmm. a survival guide for single moms from pregnancy through their first year of motherhood. And impossible is actually in quotes. And so it's called Navigating the Impossible, a survival guide for single moms through their from pregnancy through their first year of motherhood. Mm-hmm. And it is on Amazon. Yes. And if you would like a signed copy, you can go to navigatingtheimpossiblebook.com, Navigating the Impossible Book, for a signed copy. And then mm-hmm. I will sign it and mail it to you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want, a signed copy, or you don't care if it's signed or not, or if you just love Amazon, you can pick it up on Amazon.
Everything's on Amazon.
Everything's on Amazon.
Yes, you have no excuses, people. And you have Google, you have Amazon, you can find Navigating the Impossible. I love that it's in quotes. How clever. That's so great. That's so great. And then if there's a mom that wants to work with you, is there a way to contact you for that, for your financial planning and your assistance with that?
Yeah, absolutely. She can go to hello@fnphenomenal.com, hello@fnphenomenal.com. And it's F as in family, N as in Nancy, phenomenal.com.
Nice. Wonderful. Oh my goodness. I just hope that I hear you in more places, but I'm so blessed and honored that you're able to and willing to come here and speak with me. And I love it. So thank you for your time. And I'll let you go. I know you're busy. You got to get back to work, and we're going to get our twins together. Mine are 9, yours are 7, or are they 8?
Oh, mine are 6.
6. They're only 6. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, I do have a little one turning 6 at the end of this month. So I have a 6-year-old for you to play, but yes, the twins love to see other twins. It's always fun for twins. My twins are 9.
Oh yeah. They get excited.
Yeah, they're close enough in age. That'll be fun. So we're going to get together. All right, Aisha, I will let you go. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you too. And thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.